Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches on FM 94.7.
The highest expression and the holiest exercise of Christian worship. That's how our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, describes the Lord's Supper today in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus for another great adventure in God's Word. Before we begin, let's take a few minutes to read some letters from our fellow passengers. First, we hear from a listener in Tennessee. I'm new on the Bible bus. I've been listening for 3 months and have gleaned so much insight into God's Word in that short time. I am a 32-year-old woman caring for my partially disabled mother. I am also a recent college graduate and am trying to find work. I have been saved since I was 6 years old and fell away from the Lord for many years. I've always loved to study and read God's Word, but Dr. McGee has given me insight into the Scriptures that I never had before. I have to credit Dr. McGee and the Bible bus with getting me back into God's Word and joining a church. I'm a member of the choir and am very active in the women's ministry. I couldn't be happier to be once again restored to fellowship, to Jesus and my family church. Well, we certainly love to hear how God's working in your lives as we study His Word together. Now, here's another letter. This one's from a listener named Gina. I'm originally from Acapulco, Mexico, but now live in North Carolina. It is a great blessing to listen to your program. I love these studies and feel as though I grow spiritually with each one. At first, I was the only one listening, but now my husband joins me. We sit down together and listen to the Word of God. It's wonderful. Keep going forward, my beloved brothers. God is transforming many lives through you. We would like to receive the notes and outlines to be able to follow more closely the Word of the Lord. Well, thanks for writing to us, Gina. Would you, too, like to receive a free copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines that go along with each study? Well, you can download them today at ttb.org/notes, or, better yet, you can get all of Dr. McGee's notes in one digital book, Briefing the Bible. Download your free copy at ttb.org/briefingthebible, or request a printed paperback be sent out to you. Extra copies, well, they're always available for purchase in our online store. Again, you'll find everything you need at ttb.org/briefingthebible. Now, our last letter today comes from a listener in Africa who texted us this. I would like to say thank God for giving you favor in producing this program. Through your programs, the truth has been known to me, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Please pray for me, as I want to stand firm for the rest of my life. Keep up and do not give up. You are an inspiration to me, and I believe other listeners as well. We rely on you daily. Well, praise God for this new brother. And if you'd like to pray for him and other listeners to this program in more than 200 languages worldwide, please sign up for our world prayer team at ttb.org/pray. And if you'd like to share what the Lord's doing in your life as we travel through the Bible together, you can write to us at biblebus@ttb.org or send your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Now let's pray with and for each other. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that's carrying the truth of new life and an eternity with you to so many people around the world. We ask a special blessing now over all those who are listening today. Please increase our faith and help us to sense your presence as we worship you in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow along now in 1 Corinthians 11 as we go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we come today to consider the highest expression and the holiest exercise of Christian worship, which is the Lord's Supper. And because it had dropped down to such a low secular level, in fact they were practically blaspheming in the celebration of the supper there in Corinth, Paul is giving now instructions concerning it. It would be part of the spiritual division of this epistle, but it's not, for the very simple reason that we are here dealing very candidly with a very bad situation, and I'm sure it could be duplicated today a little differently, but the same situation does not prevail today that prevailed in the church there. But there's certain lessons here for us. Now, the very interesting thing is that all four Gospels record the institution of the Lord's Supper. Not all of them have the birth of Christ, but they all have the Lord's Supper, which speaks of his death. The Lord did not request that the church remember his birthday, but he did request and command that those that are his own remember his death day. And Paul attached the utmost importance to it. And if you'd like to know just how important it was, Paul says here, way down in verse 23 of the 11th chapter, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now, that he received by direct revelation. Paul puts it on par with the gospel, because over here in the 15th chapter, Paul there says concerning the gospel, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." Now, the direct revelation was of the gospel, and the direct revelation was of the Lord's Supper. The Lord gave him special instructions concerning it. Now, that means that he received the gospel by revelation, he received the Lord's Supper. See, he was not present in the upper room. And now he's able to say, "I delivered unto you," here, and that he received of the Lord that which he says, "I'm delivering unto you." Now, it's rather difficult, I admit, to see the connection of what Paul says to the Corinthian church with our celebration of the Lord's Supper. And as we've said, there's no exact parallel, but there does happen to be a similar situation. Now, in that day, the Lord's Supper was preceded by a social meal. It was celebrated probably in the home, and probably daily. They probably had the celebration of the Lord's Supper like that. In fact, right after the day of Pentecost, we're told in verse 46 of chapter 2 of Acts, "They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And Aristides, an Athenian philosopher, he lived in the early part of the second century, and he describes the way the Christians of his day live their lives. Now, I'm quoting from him. He says, "Every morning and all hours, and on account of the goodness of God towards them, they praise and laud him. And if any righteous person of their number passes away from the world, they rejoice and give thanks to God. If a child chance to die in its infancy, they praise God mightily, as for one who has passed through this world without committing a sin." Now, that is the statement of an outsider of the church in the second century. So that the church in Corinth followed the procedure, actually, of having a meal in connection with the Lord's Supper. And after all, the Passover was that kind of a celebration. In the upper room, remember, our Lord celebrated the Passover Supper. And we are told as they were eating, Jesus took bread. That's in Matthew 26, 26. And our Lord, on the dying embers of a fading feast, he did something new. Out of the ashes of that dead feast, he erected something new. Now, today we have a custom. It's a custom of clubs and fraternities and even of churches, savings banks, insurance companies, that they have a meal, a get-together. It's a sort of a time of fellowship. Now, the church would come together in that day for a supper, for a meal. Great many folk criticize church banquets, and I have too, when they become nothing in the world but an attention given to the physical man. But the early church had them, and they called it the agape, or the love feast. And it was part of the koinonia, the fellowship of the church. And in that day, the social gathering led right into the Lord's Supper, that is, the Eucharist. Now, these feasts were finally separated, and they're not practiced today. You do not have a dinner that leads into the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Now, there is a message, though, in spite of that for us, and let's see if we can locate it. I go back and read verse 17, chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Now, in this that I declare unto you, and that word declare, by the way, is command, and unto you is not in the, well, it's in italics, means it's actually not in the text. It should be, now in this that I command, and this now is a command from Paul, he says, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. In other words, they should have come together for a great spiritual blessing, but it didn't amount to that. Actually, they were worse off. What had happened? For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear. Now, when you come together in the church, he's not talking about an edifice, a building. He's talking about when the believers came together. We always identify a building with the church. We say, well, the Methodist church or the Baptist church or the Presbyterian church or the Independent church is down on the next corner. Well, it's not down on the next corner. The chances are it's closed up. Nobody's there, and that's not a church, just a building. Church of the people, but it's difficult for us to think in a context like that. For first of all, when you come together in the church, that is, as the believers come together, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. In other words, the party spirit was carried over into the Lord's Supper, that division that was there. And now notice verse 19, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now this explains the cults and isms. Why does God permit them? Well, have you ever noticed sometimes that when your wife or mother or the cook is cooking something and there is accumulation of something on top and she takes a skimmer and just skims it off? Well, that's what God does. The church is filled today, I think, with unbelievers, tell the truth. A large percentage of people in the sum total of all the churches, they're not saved at all. They're just members of a church. Now, the Lord, he skims them all. How? Well, they go into cults and isms. That's what he says here. He says very candidly, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. A heresy comes along, one of these cults isms. There are a lot of people go out of churches and flock to it. Why? Well, because the Lord's skimming them all, my friend. That which is genuine may be revealed. Now he says in verse 20, when ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is, and you notice this is in italics. It should be, it's not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, it's impossible for them to celebrate the Lord's Supper because of the way that they have this feast that preceded it. Under these circumstances, they couldn't celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, he continues on, verse 21. He says, for in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. And believe me, what a comment that is. Here, some poor fellow, he came to the dinner. He couldn't even bring a covered plate of scalloped potatoes. And that, my friend, is the limit. He couldn't bring a few scalloped potatoes. And because of that, he was hungry. And there sat next to him a rich fella, and he had fried chicken and ice cream for dessert. And he's not passing anything to this poor man. You see, that fellowship's broken. That's not fellowship when you do like that. Always at the church picnic, I always made a point of circulating around at the mealtime. Everybody opens up their little picnic basket, and they have their picnic dinner there. And a lot of folks share, but I always went up and down and just helped myself because I think that that's what it should be. I think that it's a time of fellowship. And my friend, it's not a fellowship unless you share with me and I share with you. That's what was happening. And as a result, it was tragic. This man actually was hungry. They don't give him anything. Well, that's not fellowship by any means. And then there was something else. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. What had happened? Verse 22, what? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Now what was happening here was just simply this. They were fracturing and rupturing the church. And in its visible way, why, they should have shared everything. And then there was some getting drunk during this agape, the love feast. And they were in no condition to remember the death of Christ at all. It was all fuzzy and hazy to them. And now Paul gives that which he got by direct revelation. He says again, I praise you not. And he asks the question, shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now, verse 23, he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. I hear people say they want to celebrate the Lord's Supper just exactly like the Lord did. And then they have 11 o'clock morning service. Well, if you want to have it at the proper time, it would be at night. They went in at night. They eat the Passover feast. And if you wanted to pick out the right time, it wouldn't be 11 o'clock morning service. I instituted for a while in several churches in which I've served an evening communion. And every other time of having it in the evening service. Well, you should have heard the amount of criticism that came at first. Oh, we want to celebrate it like the Lord did. I said, well, that's the reason we're having it at night. He instituted it at night. Listen to Paul. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now he got this as a direct revelation of the Lord. And Paul wasn't present in the upper room. And it was the night that the forces of hell met to destroy our Savior. And I think the simplicity and sublimity of this supper is tremendous. And the sanity of it. Notice what he did. It says, when he'd given thanks, he gave thanks that night while the shadow of the cross hung over the upper room. Sin was knocking at the door of the upper room, demanding its pound of flesh. And he gave thanks. He gave thanks to God. Now he break it. And there's always been a difference of opinion among believers on that. Should you break the bread or serve it as it is? Well, may I say to you, Romanism breaks it. Lutheranism does not. And most Protestant churches don't. I instituted again something else. That the one that served the bread before the congregation, take a piece and break it right before them. That speaks of the broken body of our Lord. Bengel made this statement. He says the very mention of the breaking involves distribution and refutes the Corinthian plan, every man for himself. They were to share this. This was something they were to share. Now, will you notice? He says, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now, the bread speaks of his broken body, not bones, broken body. And now, this speaks of the new covenant. This is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. And it's always called the cup, if you'll notice. Drink this cup. And Luke speaks of the fruit of the vine. Never is it called wine. May I say that I believe it was unfermented. Somebody says, why do you say that? Well, this was the Passover feast. And they were serving unleavened bread. Do you think that they served the leavened fruit of the vine, which would be wine? Oh, no. They would never have unleavened bread and leavened grape juice. The body is the cup that holds the blood. And that blood speaks of his death. And it wasn't contaminated blood like mine or yours. It was not leavened. It was unleavened grape juice, if you please. I believe that with all my heart. Now, verse 26. Paul now adds something new. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Now, the Lord's Supper is a commemoration. You do this, he says, in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. Verse 25. And that looks back to the past. That looks back to the time that he died on the cross. The Lord's Supper is a commemoration in remembrance of him. But it's a communion. He's the living Christ today at God's right hand. And it means of my present vital relationship with Jesus Christ. But it also looks to the future. It's a commitment. This do ye, he says, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. And it looks down through the halls of history. And at that day, it was in the future. And it's still in the future, the coming of Christ for his church. It's a commitment on the part of those in view of that. Now, friends, what he did, he took these frail and fragile elements that had spoiled before the next week, and he erected a monument, not of marble, of bronze, or silver, or gold, but the simplest elements in the world, most familiar, bread and drink. Now, what does it mean to discern the Lord's body? Let's keep reading. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh, now, unworthily is not here in verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, there have always been three interpretations of it. Romanism says, hoc est meum corpus. This, that is, these elements, are the actual blood and body of Christ. Well, I have only one thing to say about that. That's actually true, then you're cannibal if you're eating his body actually. Then Luther didn't come too far away from that, and his teaching was consubstantiation. And he said, by, in, through, with, and under, and over the bread, you get the body of Christ. Well, it's difficult for me to understand that. And then there are those that say it's a symbol. And that's been a Protestant viewpoint. Zwingli taught that, just a symbol. But it's more than that. It's meaningful. There's something there for us. And it means you got to discern the body of Christ. It means this. You have bread in your mouth, but you have Christ in your heart. My friend, that's the thing that's important. You remember when he went yonder on that Emmaus road, he had a meal with him. And then what did he do? He revealed himself. That was the Lord's Supper. Oh, may he reveal himself in this supper to you and to me today. Now he says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Why? They've done it unworthily. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. But when we are judged of the Lord, we're chastened, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, if we can judge ourselves when we're wrong, if we don't, he'll judge us. We're believers. Why? Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, eat, tear one for another. And I should add this, that we should not be condemned with the world. He's going to judge the world. Therefore, he has to deal with his own now. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Now, there were other things wrong in Corinth, but Paul didn't write about them. He says, when I get there, I'm going to straighten those out. But these are the things. He's going to change the subject next time. He's going to move from the carnalities to the spiritualities. And that's what he wanted to talk about at the very beginning. But they had all of these problems, all these hang-ups, just like we have today. And that's the reason they're important to us. But now we're going to see the spiritualities next time. So until next time, friends, may God richly bless you.
What an important study. Listen to it again or share it with a friend at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE to find out the many ways that you can listen to Dr. McGee's teaching. One of them is sure to fit into your day. Join us next time as we come to another important issue that can cause a lot of debate among Christians, spiritual gifts. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat on the Bible bus just for you. Well, ride the Bible bus for 5 years and you'll be amazed at what God teaches you from His Word about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a blessing that keeps on going. That's what we believe at Through the Bible.
To see another day, and with each new day, find new mercies I see. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord has done for me. For the many ways that you made, I
thank you, Jesus.
Keeping me day by day, I'm gonna say,
thank you,
well,
Jesus.
Tell me, do you really mind if I testify?
Thank you, Jesus.
About the Lord being my full supply.
Thank you,
I'm telling
Jesus.
You.
From me,
you
can't tell it all.
Can't tell it all.
That's how good He is. And when I think of the blessings,
I have no choice.
He's gonna
go out crazy. Get Jesus on the main line. Tell Him what I want. Call Him up and tell Him exactly what I want. This time I'm not only asking, I'm trusting. But what I want, while I got him on the line, why don't you get what you want? Anybody else wanna talk to the master?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, really wanna say, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody's waving their hand just to say, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I really wanna say thank you, Lord.
WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco 99.9 FM.
Well, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's worthy of all our honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Yay! We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now stay tuned to the broadcast. You'll be blessed.
Well, praise the Lord once again out there in Radio Land. We thank the Lord for this glorious opportunity to come into your homes and nursing homes, prison cells, automobiles, wherever you are, telling you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's truly good. And if you know Him as I know Him, He's good for you as well. So we thank Him for that. And each and every day that He allows us to see this wonderful day, we thank Him for it. Because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we shall all rejoice and be glad in it. There's none like Him. I said there's none like Him. He's able. And He's able to do all things. So we thank Him for that this morning. And I pray that each person out there in Radio Land, that if you tune into this broadcast, I want to pray for you as well as your relatives and family members and all those that are associated with you, our family members as well. Father, we thank You this very morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless Your blessings to be upon each person. We don't know what they're going through. Many people are suffering from sickness and disease. But Lord, we know that You are the healer. You've done and take care of this 2,000 years ago. You were hung there on Calvary's cross. We receive our healing today in the precious name of Jesus. And to Him and only Him be the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I ask that if you tune into the broadcast, and we thank God that you have, then we were going to the book of Hebrews. Praise the Lord. The book of Hebrews. We're going to start at the first verse and come on down, because this is a book that was written. The Jews that accepted Jesus but were going back into under the law, and God was not pleased with that, and I attribute this book and the writer of this book to Apostle Paul, the one that received the revelation from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now there's two opinions concerning who wrote the book of Hebrews, but the most important thing is that it has been written, and it's written for our admonition. Praise God. It's a warning to us all. We look at what the Word says. We have to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the only one that makes the difference. No matter what problems you may have, you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the answer to all man's problem. And man's problem is sin. So when we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that has taken away the sin. And I recall John the Baptist in St. John 1 and verse 29, when John was baptizing folks in the River Jordan, and what happened, he looked up and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming down that dusty road, I call it, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sin of the world." Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So if you receive Him, your sins are forgiven if you believe and trust in Him. So the Word tells us in Hebrew 1 and verse, praise God, in Hebrew 12 and verse 1, I stand corrected there, Hebrew 12 and verse 1, it tells us, "Wherefore seeing that we have passed about with such a great cloud of witnesses," we have an awful amount of witnesses. All the brethren that have gone on before us, praise the Lord, they are our witnesses. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God is true. So we've come past the Bible, says, "Great a cloud of witness." And the race that we're in, praise God, the race that we're in, we're in, we want to finish this race. Amen. We want to continue to run with patience this race that is set before us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And the men today don't realize that they're in a spiritual race. They're not in a natural race, it's a spiritual race. And this race depends on us all if we want to finish it. I want to tell you today that none of us have gotten into this race to pick up bases on the wayside or being distracted because of circumstances and situations. We want to stay focused. We want to keep our eyes on the finish line. And in the natural, the marathon runner, he engaged in this race to finish it. Now, some may not finish it because of whatever the case may be. Some may pick up distraction and find out, you know, take their minds off of what they're supposed to be doing. But there's another group that is want to finish this race. They've gotten into it to finish the race. And the Apostle Paul says that if we entered into this race, we're doing it to finish it. Now, he said that he finished his course, but I want to tell you, we all have a course here. So this race that we're running with patience, we're hoping that by staying focused on what the Word of God is saying, that we'll be able to finish this race and not allow any distraction. Because there are a lot of distractions out there today in Radio Land, and they come into our lives as well. They come into our minds, and they have us to try and do things which God has not told us to do. That's a distraction there, because we want to follow the perfect will of God and not allow anything to distract us or take our attention away from finishing this race. Now, Paul says we're running this race. It's a spiritual race. We must keep in mind that's what it is, a spiritual race. And we want to finish this race. Mr. Lord, you know that when people enter into a race as a marathon runners, they're looking for a trophy in the natural at the end of the race.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole thing, because it's more or less a carnal thing to them. Mm-hmm. We are in a spiritual race.
Yes.
And we want to finish that race. We want to keep focused on what this race means to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't get to the finish line if you lose sight of who you're focusing on. See, in the natural, the marathon runner, what he does is that he dresses himself up, he empties everything away from him, and what he does is that he lays aside. You know, I'm speaking from a natural perspective at the moment here, that he lays aside things that would try to hinder him from finishing that race. In other words, what he does is that he wears the lightest clothes that he can possibly wear in this race,
right,
where he won't be able to carry any stuff that will try to hold him back. And also, he refuses to carry any excess negative baggage in his mind, because I tell you, the race is not given to the swift. The race is not given to the mighty, but it's given to those who endure to the end. That's where the finish comes in, where you get the prize. So it's amazing how in the natural, the marathon runner makes preparations so that he's able to finish his course. Well, Apostle Paul is telling us from a spiritual standpoint. Now I'm speaking spiritual, where this race is spiritual. Our mind must be focused on the one that's going to be the prize. In the natural, the marathon runner just a physical trophy of whatever it is that accolades and all the other praises that he would get if he finished the course in the natural. He has a timeline that he said, well, I finished the course in a couple hours. But I want to tell you from a spiritual standpoint, we run this race and we're with the one that is the prize, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of this verse scripture here is talking about how we lay aside things so that we can run this race as swift as we can so that we can finish it. But meantime, we are also keeping in mind that we are not allowing any distractions or anything to try to hinder us. They're hindering spirits that will try to hold you back in this, from a spiritual standpoint, to keep you from finishing this course. Distraction is one of them, and excess mental baggage, thinking about things that that goes on, that have taken place prior to you engaging in this this spiritual race. We're going to run this race with patience. And the thing is that the race, actually, when we begin to stay focused and not engage in this race where all this stuff that has taken place, disappointment and gotten into our mind, all these are hindrance thoughts or spirits that will keep us from actually finishing. So if you can't run this race, if you have a lot of stuff on your mind, you know, you think about what somebody is saying and what is taking place, you have to be free of these negative thoughts and distraction, and what you have to do afterwards. You have to concentrate completely and totally on finishing this race.
Amen.
So Minister Rose, read that first verse again. Let's look at it, see if we can unpack a little more information there, a revelation revelation that's coming from that first verse of scripture there.
It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Okay, so now there's a cloud of witnesses. There are folks that have gone on before us. Praise God. They are our witnesses. They are witnessing to a lot of things. It was talked about there in the latter part of that, not the latter part, but in the book of Hebrews there, that they are witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know your Bible, you'll know who the witnesses are. And they are greater witnesses. Praise God. So you want to...
And let us lay aside every weight.
All right, laying aside every weight. That means that this race, the requirement is not to carry excess baggage. And when I said excess baggage, I'm not speaking in terms of something carnal. This is a spiritual race. And what is taking place is that you leave these distractions, hindering spirits, negative thoughts, things that have taken place prior to you engaging in this race, and you have the right mindset that you're going to finish this race. You got in it to finish it. So you're going to run this race with patience. Praise God.
And the sin which does so easily beset us.
Things that have taken place. There may be thoughts that you have in your mind that you probably said something that you should not have said to someone, and you have not really asked the Lord for forgiveness and or forgave those people that have wronged you. Whatever it is, the sin that so easily beset us. See, we can't run this race, and many people today are running, trying to run the race with unforgiveness in their heart. They're trying to run this race with all kinds of negative things, when we should not allow these thoughts to come into our mind, because God has given us this word through Apostle Paul, that everything that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God, that we are to bring it into captivity. That's what the word says in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. Cast down these things. We can't run this race with a whole lot of mental excess negative baggage in our mind. We need to cast these thoughts down. So the word says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. And have having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. So there are things here that will hinder us in this race, and we can't afford to allow these things. We got to run this race because we want to finish the course. Amen. We want to finish this race. So what else is
this? And let us run with patience.
Run with patience. Praise God. Patience. You know, it takes a lot to do things with patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because there's so much that's pulling after you.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that you get excited and you don't want to. We just keep the Word of God in our hearts and our minds and realize that our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He is, and from a spiritual standpoint, He is the prize. Apostle Paul said there that he's pressing toward the mark for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. So here's the word.
The race that is set before us. And you know what, Pastor? Patience is a fruit of the Spirit.
Yes, patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Verse 2, it says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
You see, this is the whole thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is the prize. Amen. He is the one that we're running to finish this course for. It tells us there that looking, he never said to glance at the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to stay focused on him. And he alone, our faith is in. Our trust is in. Our hope is in. And we have that desire that we're going to finish this spiritual race by looking unto Jesus. I said looking unto Jesus. Not looking to anything else. Not looking to the crowd that's on the sidelines. No, we're looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. So our focus is on Jesus in this spiritual race here. Praise God. When we stay focused on him, we can finish the course, we can receive the prize. But everybody that is running this race in the natural, what happens is that there's only one that's going to win. And that's the one that finished the race first. But spiritually speaking, from this race that we have here, and from a spiritual standpoint, we all win.
Amen.
Because when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to God, we all win. He is the prize. You know, Minister Gerber, what just came back to me is that when Apostle Paul was talking about, said, I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that? He said he's pressing.
Yes.
So from a spiritual standpoint, in this spiritual race here, we're pressing. Well, we're going to finish this course. Praise
Amen.
God. When we get there, everybody wins.
Hallelujah.
Not just one person, but everybody wins. Praise God.
Amen.
And the scriptures tell us not glancing, but looking, focusing, keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who is the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. Praise God. For the Lord.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah.
Can you imagine for a moment, I didn't hear you then. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the prize. If you're in this race, and every person that is born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll be their focus. Nothing else. No church building. No man. No woman. No situation or circumstance. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the panacea for all mankind. Praise God. He is the one that has done everything for us. And he did it at the cross of Calvary. So our faith and our hope and our trust should be in him. That's why Apostle Paul said, looking, always continuously looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Mr. Lord, if we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, then we fall into circumstances and situations, and what happens is that, you know, we won't finish that race.
Yeah.
But we've gotten into the race to finish. Well, praise God. The Holy Spirit just gave me another verse of scripture here when Peter stepped out the boat, walking on water. And then he was walking, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden there was a storm.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? He took his eyes off Jesus.
Right.
When he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink.
Yeah.
See?
Right.
And you can't get to him that way because there shouldn't be any distraction. There was a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Had he kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have gone exactly where Jesus was.
Right.
Walking on the water. And this is what's happening today. If we take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, we begin to side ourselves with circumstances and situations where it will rob us of the victory. It will rob us because what's happening is that he and he alone is the one that's able to do everything. So we praise him for it and we thank him. Praise God, because he is the reason why we are running this race.
Amen.
We're running it because he has saved us. He has healed us. So, Minister Lloyd, so it's so important that it says, looking unto Jesus,
yeah.
the author and the finisher of our faith, praise God.
Who for the joy that was set before him.
For the joy that was set before him.
Mm-hmm.
He enjoyed this. This is why all of our faith should be in him. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Amen.
He endured the cross.
Yes.
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
He endured the cross
mm-hmm.
and despised the shame.
Mm-hmm.
And is now sat down
at the right hand of the throne of God. Making intercessions for the saints.
Praise God.
That's
why we have victory.
Mm-hmm.
We'll win this race.
Mm-hmm.
We won't fall short. We keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know the scripture says that he endured.
He endured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He endured the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to look at that because he endured the cross. So what did he do on that cross? Well, first of all, when we look at what Jesus did in Colossians 2 and verse 14 and 15, mm-hmm. praise God, it tells us that, you know, that he blotted out the handwriting and the ordinances that were against us and contrary to us by taking it out of the way,
mm-hmm.
nailing it to his cross.
Amen.
And that's what he's done, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And our faith should be in him.
Amen.
And thanking him for everything that he's done. And in that 15th verse,
and having spoiled principalities and powers, mm-hmm. he made a show of them openly, triumphantly over them in it.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
So he endured the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did is that he defeated the devil at the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood there. And not only did he defeat the devil, but he died for our sins. He became our substitute. And not only, I tell you, not only that he did this, but all of our healing, we wouldn't have salvation if it wasn't for Calvary, for what Jesus did. Glory to God. Hallelujah. By enduring the cross. Praise God. And I tell you, despising the shame, because actually he was crucified between two thieves. You know, on the cross there in the valley of Golgotha, on that cross, he was crucified. He wasn't a criminal.
No.
He was a sacrifice. So he had him crucified between two criminals, two malefactors. But I want to tell you, that's not going to hinder us from running this race. This spiritual race, we're going to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're going to thank him for everything because he endured the cross, despised the shame.
Yes.
And he's now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Praise.
Well, he wouldn't have been able to sit down had he not finished
mm-hmm.
the race.
Right.
We are in him, and he's in us.
Mm-hmm.
And in this race, he is the prize. And we thank God for that today. Praise God that he is the author and finisher of our finished the course.
Yes, he did.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
He finished the race.
Yes.
And he did it for you and I.
Yes.
Because he never sinned. He never sinned.
Mm-hmm.
He did it for you and I.
Yes. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
We thank God for that today. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because the blood that was shed,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't be saved if had he not done what he did. He became our substitute on Calvary's cross.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we stay focused
mm-hmm.
on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Giving him all the praise and the honor and the glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And once he sat down, he finished. It was finished. He said it was finished.
He said it was finished.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm. Nothing we have to do anymore. All we have to do is just believe what he has done on the cross of Calvary.
Well, believe and receive.
Believe and receive.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened is that demons believe.
Yes.
And tremble.
Yes.
But we believe what the word of God says.
That's right.
And our eyes are on Jesus.
On Jesus. Praise God.
Amen. Keep
mm-hmm.
our eyes on the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We cannot fathom the idea of everything that was done there on Calvary's cross. Because I link this up with the race. Because what happened is that in order to finish, we have to stay focused.
Yes.
And to stay focused, we finish the race with patience. Taking it easy, just realizing that the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us
Amen.
On Calvary Cross.
Mm-hmm.
There are many things that he's done. But I want to tell you today, there's one thing that you all out there in Radio Land can do. And that is, if you don't know him, Minister Gore is going to tell you how you can know him and let him be your friend.
In Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise the Lord. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. God bless you all. My prayer.
Listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.
Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ,